It's a blessing to be able to share the word of the Lord with you. But it's also a challenge. Because I don't want what I feel to be the dominant thing that comes out. I want what the Lord has to say to come forward. It's always interesting how the Lord... I was on one track of what I thought the Lord wanted me to speak on. And then last Saturday, he put me on a totally different track. And it's interesting because when he does that, it seems really easier because then he's really down putting the stuff into me and helping me to find the sources to be able to bring forth the word. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the anointing of your word, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you would have your way today, that our hearts, our minds would be open, our ears to hearing what you're saying, and to receiving it as well, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just direct my mouth to speak the things that you want me to speak today, Lord. Lord, this is about you. It's always been about you, and we're grateful for that. Keep the knowledge of that in our hearts always, that our lives are about you. So we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Probably shouldn't drink this water, but my throat. So the title of this sermon today is called The Womb of the Lord. That's right, The Womb of the Lord. I'm sure you may be surprised, but the Lord has a womb. Before you think I'm a heretic, I'm not making any political statements. I'm not trying to change any ideological thoughts that you may have. I'm just trying to preach the word of the Lord from what it says. In order for a birth to take place, there has to be a womb. The text today is going to be John chapter 3. And we're going to break down several verses, but we're going to start at verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to read that. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." What do we know about Nicodemus, the high-ranking Sanhedrin Pharisee, or the Pharisee of the Sanhedrin Council? What do we know about him? Well, first thing, we know he believed in Jesus, right? For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. So he believes. What's the second thing that we know about him from the scripture? Well, he went to Jesus at nighttime. Kind of an odd thing, hey? Go to Jesus at nighttime, set up this meeting to meet with him. Well, I'm going to think that it's probably because of the position that he had. Most of Jesus' interactions with the Pharisees were antagonistic. So in order to really ask Jesus the questions that he wanted to ask him, he had to go to him at nighttime. It would take the pressure off from the other Pharisees saying, what are you doing? Another thing that we should see is that he had a desire to want to know more about Jesus and his teaching, hence the appointment at nighttime. His heart was being drawn to Jesus by Holy Spirit. Another thing that we see is he's a defender of Jesus. He raised the question of justice for men when they were plotting to get rid of Jesus. Lastly, we see him join with Joseph of Arimathea in burying Jesus. So that shows that he cared about Jesus. Let's see what Jesus' response to Nicodemus is from verse 2. In verse 3, in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." That's the first mention of being born again. In other words, what Jesus was saying is the knowledge of divine things could not be had through man's normal senses. Let's read in verse 4. Nicodemus speaking. "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." So clearly, Nicodemus has no clue what Jesus is talking about. And I would guarantee you that none of us had a clue what Jesus was talking about before he started working in our lives. So verse 5, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." That's the second time Jesus mentioned that. First he said you won't see the kingdom. Now he says you're not going to enter it unless you be born of water and the Spirit. So let's go back to Nicodemus in verse 4 asking Jesus, "How can a man be born when he is old? Surely can he enter his mother's womb a second time?" The obvious answer would be, no, you can't. But the Hebrew word for womb is rechem. It comes from the word rachem. What is rachem? Rachem is compassionate, deep, tender mercy. Compassionate, deep, tender mercy. Rachem and rechem are connected. Rachem can also mean womb. So mercy and the womb, that's the connection. You with me? The womb is a place of tenderness, nurturing, and protection. If not for the tender love that we receive in the womb, we would never have been born. And yet the word rachem, which can mean both mercy and the womb, is used in Scripture for the love and mercy of God. So the word used for God's love is linked to the womb. The love and mercy of God is a womb. It is the rachem of God, His tender love and deep compassion that causes us to be born again. So we cannot enter a second time into our mother's womb to be born, but there is a womb that we can enter. The rachem, the womb of God's mercy. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's that mercy, the rachem, the womb of His love that tenderly keeps us throughout our lives, that holds us, that nurtures us. It protects us from harm. And it is by living in that love that we grow into be the people who God has intended us to be. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. We were away last Sunday. We were at a bar mitzvah. What was that? Okay. Anybody ever been to a bar mitzvah? Long time ago? I've never been to one. Sue has a friend whose two sons were bar mitzvahed. Okay, yeah. It was very interesting. I don't say that in a funny kind of way. It's probably one of the most religious synagogues in the city on Brock Street. So the men were over here. The ladies were here. There was a glass in between. And there was paintings on the glass. So I don't know if that was a decoration or so that you couldn't look through. But it was very, very... Men were here, you know, you don't talk to them, etc. So anyways, the men had phylacteries on their heads. That's that little box. It's in Exodus chapter 6. And it has texts of the law in there. Bind the law to your head. And then it was attached to a strap. And strap it to your arm so that you don't forget to keep the law. It's pretty interesting. So they were lots of prayer. Lots of action going on while they were praying. People would come in late and they'd just go ahead and greet each other while the rabbi is praying and some of the other guys are praying. It seemed a little bit distractful for me, but they were doing what they do. And I guess that's probably a good thing that they were just loving each other no matter what, exchanging warm greetings. They would come in late and they would just get changed in front of the whole congregation by putting their stuff on. So you're kind of distracted from listening to the rabbi by this guy who's just kind of getting dressed like right here. So I found that very, very interesting. The other thing I found really interesting is, as Sue mentioned, that, you know, if Jesus was there, he read from the Torah. They had it in a case, and I kind of thought, there was no Jesus there. It was just totally all about the law. And then I felt kind of sad because we have Jesus. We're born again. We can go right to Jesus. So, we have this amazing birth that's taken place in our lives. We are born again. That's an incredible thing. The Jews at a point in time too will have the same knowledge we have. Some do already, but even more, right now it's our time, the Gentiles. But the Lord will turn back to the Jews. But in the meantime, we need to make sure that we're taking advantage of what we have that they don't have right now. I sat beside, I couldn't tell who was Jewish and who was not. what's that called? The yarmulke. Everybody's got to wear a yarmulke. So, I don't know how they get these things to fit everybody because everybody's head's a different shape, right? I came out of the bathroom. I thought, oh, help me, Sue. But it did stay on. I felt like it wanted to come off, but it stayed on. Nonetheless, I sat with a gentleman at the beginning. He was a dear friend of the couple that was having the bar mitzvah. And he asked me an odd question. He asked me what religion I was. And I told him I wasn't Jewish. I don't know if he thought I was Jewish or not. He was Ukrainian. But I felt, and I hadn't gotten this message. Yes, I did. Saturday, the Lord started talking to me about it. Yeah, I really felt led to say to him, I'm a born-again Christian. I don't normally address myself when I tell people that, but I felt compelled to tell him that as I was preparing, because we are born-again Christians. The word has been misused and misrepresented and all of that stuff, and used even as a cliche, but the reality is, I think that's a good identification for us. We are born again because that's what Jesus said we needed to do to enter the kingdom. So, personally speaking, I'm going back to that when I'm in discussion with people and talking about my faith, etc. I'm going to be telling people that I'm a born again Christian. And because it's been misused, doesn't take away the fact that that's exactly who the Lord sees us as, is people who are born again. So we have, skipping back to the message now, we have the rachem of God, the deep, tender compassion, mercy, which is the rachem of the womb, of our new birth. Every birth must have a womb. And the womb of our new birth is His love. So let's stand. While you're standing, just one last scripture. Isaiah 44, verse 24. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. physically and spiritually. So the rachem, the deep compassion and tender mercies of the Lord, dwell upon it today as you have some time this afternoon, and let it continue to change you into His image.